Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller.
Matt Barris, why are you pointing at me with your readers?
Well, Matt, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
Merry Lee Christmas. Ann Miller.
Here we are.
Here we
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
And, you know, I don't know what you're doing right now while you're listening to this, but I'm picturing the thousands of people that listen to us rapping and cooking and loving and driving places and doing all the things.
It's Christmas Eve.
And I just love picturing our podcast community and wondering what they're doing on Christmas Eve. You know, I think of people of Christmas or of podcast family members gone by. I don't think that we've lost anyone, but I'm thinking of Tina in Cincinnati with her college age kids.
Enjoy. Lynette. Yes. Well, I call her Joy, but it's Lynette.
And
Lynette.
Shannon and her husband from West Virginia.
Yes.
And Ellie
and Grant,
Akey.
Do you think Grant Snyder's
listening?
Walk.
Grant's probably lifting weights in the
yes,
basement.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking about our friend Kat, our friend Mel.
Yes.
You know, all of the people, Maggie and Danielle
yes,
and Hobby Matt
yes.
and my wife Mallory.
Yes.
And not Daryl, because Daryl doesn't
no.
listen to the podcast.
Your mom, Francine.
My mom's listening. Yes. You know, I'm thinking of all
your
the
mother
people.
Mother and father-in-law, so sweet.
I know.
My daughter-in-law's listen, which is so sweet.
I know.
So sweet.
Our friend Brenda that was at the live event.
Yes.
You know, there's so many people, when I think about this podcast community, there's so many faces to names. And I love that about the community that we're creating.
Yeah,
and
too.
I'm picturing specific people at home with their families listening to the podcast this week. Maybe it's on Christmas Eve, maybe it's after that, but
yes.
but happy Christmas Eve and Merry Christmas
yeah,
Eve
Merry
to
Christmas,
you.
Yeah.
Here
we're
we are.
We're so thankful for you. And listen, if you find it in your heart this Christmas to leave a review or
yeah.
to star our podcast.
Do you want me to do background music?
Yeah.
This, no, you keep talking.
Okay.
You keep talking.
If you
we needed to plan this bit a little better.
If you go to
Christmas,
Apple and leave a review for us, we would appreciate it so much. And then on Spotify, you can just star us. Give us a 5-star, will you? And if you're going to give us a 4-star, please message us and tell us why it's not 5.
That was good. I think we need to do that more, where I sing and you do the announcements.
Listen, but
that.
Truly, if you will give us a review or star our podcast on Spotify or Apple, we really, truly appreciate it. And shout out to all our Patreon. We
yeah,
have
that's
to
right.
say thank you to our Patreon. You have taught us this late fall. You have taught us what it means to try something new.
Put yourself out
and
there.
And put ourselves out there.
That's right.
And we have about 100 of you that are our Patreon family.
That's right.
And we are so thankful this
totally.
Christmas for each of you.
You know, last week we shared our Christmas menu,
mm-hmm.
and I hope mm-hmm. that people are cooking
trying,
it
yeah.
up. Even if you only cook one thing from
yes.
there, please let us know.
Yeah, let
you
us
can,
know.
Our Patreon, what's really cool about the Patreon platform, if people haven't used it, is it is a community building thing too. What's so fun.
Yeah, you can leave comments.
It's almost, it kind of looks like a blog
mm-hmm.
where people can
mm-hmm.
leave comments and reply to each other. And I love when I pop into our Patreon and I see people talking to each
yeah,
other,
each other yes.
In the comments. That's so fun.
And I
so
also love
check that
our,
out.
I also love that our Patreon, they get a private Facebook group because
mm-hmm.
our Facebook group is very active too.
It is. It is. It's so fun.
Yeah.
We do have plans for our podcast family level of subscriber. We do have plans to do live like Zoom calls with them.
Yes.
So we will probably
yes.
be doing that in the new year. Obviously, this fall's been busy, but we plan to do that
yes.
periodically
maybe
throughout
January
the year.
Or February,
and
where we
so
meet.
We would love for you to subscribe so you get all the details on how to hop on
yes.
a Zoom call with us, because I think that could be a really
yes.
fun experience.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, what was your good day, Matt?
My good day is recently, this didn't happen this week. Full disclosure, we are not recording this like the day before Christmas because
no.
it's so busy.
We're not recording this on Christmas Eve.
No.
Recording this a little bit before
yeah.
Christmas Eve.
So recently, Mallory and I took the kids up to our friend Kat's house. You know, Kat lives in I wouldn't say downtown Cleveland.
No, Gordon Square.
She lives in Gordon Square, Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Her address is, no, I'm just joking. She lives like a couple blocks away from Lake Erie.
Yes.
But it's in a very cool spot where you can walk to different restaurants and that kind of thing. And so we went up for a whole day with her. And our kids love Kat. Here's what people may not know. Kat is so intentional. She had these little gift bags for our kids at her house. They all had a squishy, like a Nido in it. They all had a chapstick with a different holiday flavor.
Got it.
There was something else in there. Candy. And there was candy in there. And, you know, she had like art station. She bought a gingerbread house decorating kit. And they did that. And the adults talked. And that was so fun. And then we went to a market in Cleveland that had a lot of makers in it. And we picked up some Christmas gifts.
Love it.
You know, my wife's from Cleveland. And so when we go to those Cleveland maker markets, there's often people making Cleveland themed things.
Yes.
Like shirts about the Browns or the Indians or the Guardians or shirts about the lake and that kind of thing. And so often we'll find gifts for specifically her family members that love Cleveland. And so we walked around this old warehouse with Kat. We had a lovely lunch at a place called Ninja City.
Ninja City. If you were listening.
I had the lo mein. It was great. Mallory had a curry soup that was so good.
I love curry.
So good.
I love a good curry.
Spend time in fun places. Yeah.
Sign me up for curry.
Yeah. What about you? What's your good day?
Well, Matt, you know, I don't have anything really specific.
Yeah.
This time of year, I slow down. Yeah. I almost get like a big grizzly bear.
No, I know.
Where I like to hibernate a little.
I know.
So I would say my good day, Daryl has been doing trips afar.
Yeah.
So he has been traveling out of town. And last 2 weeks, he was in Connecticut.
And that's crazy.
I know. And he said, yeah, we're working on a house. A guy like executive from like, what is it? Eye on Television.
Okay,
Daryl.
Like, Daryl, tell him about, hey, oh my gosh, we need to give Daryl cards with our QR code on it to leave in all these big houses.
Yeah, seriously, maybe they could listen to our podcast. Come on.
This
come
is
on,
a good
guy.
Idea.
Come on.
Pull up Ion Executive.
Yes, pull up. I mean, he wasn't even sure. He's like, well, he was either a former executive there, or maybe he's retired now. I'm not really sure. I'm like, I would be getting all those details.
I know.
Not him.
Come on, Daryl.
Not him.
That's why he is perfect for these jobs.
Yeah, it's true. And it's so true.
I mean, because he's so like not into that life.
So I love the first 2 days. I've told you this. First 2 days that he's gone, I'm like, oh, I've got the remote.
That's right.
I'm eating cereal for supper.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping until 8:30. Like I'm gonna
rebel
live
without
it up.
A cause.
I'm gonna live it up. And then after about day two, I'm like, I don't like this anymore.
I know.
I want him to come home.
You don't like the dark either.
No. And so I will say the last 2 weeks when he has come home and we've just been at home together, it has been good days.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been anything extravagant or over the top or just, you know, we're recording this. We're recording this at a time that my kids aren't home yet.
Right.
But they're going to be coming home very, very soon. All of them will all be together.
Right.
And I'm sure that will be my next good day.
Totally.
But for right now, my good day is just an ordinary day with my husband using his chainsaw outside, cutting up firewood. And and I yell out the window, can I make you a plate of food? And he says, sure. You know, it's just.
You guys really, really do a good job being empty nesters.
We do.
You do.
We
you
do.
Guys
we
function really well
we
like
have.
That.
We really have.
And I'm picturing your living room now. Mm-hmm. Do you guys both sit in your new chairs?
Yes, side by side.
So you're sitting on the side? You're sitting on the left side?
What do you mean?
Like you're sitting on the side. Like if your living room's like a U, you guys are sitting on this side together.
We're sitting
and no
on
one's
this,
sitting on the couch?
No one's sitting
the
on
green
the couch.
Chairs?
No.
That's
but
so funny.
The recliners are now on the opposite side of where they were.
Yeah.
So our recliners are on the
it
side
just
of the front
like
door.
For my feng shui brain, it feels like you're like this.
Well, we're so excited because it's offering more seating in our living
room.
That's
true.
When the kids come home, everybody's going to have a seat for their
that's
butt.
That's right.
And it's going to, that
that's
will
true.
Be so nice.
Every
in fact,
couple could have their little.
Yes. And actually, one of my friends that was over recently said, I really like this because this feels like a real conversation room now.
Totally.
Because it kind of goes in a just like a nice view of seating.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we have really embraced the empty nest.
Totally.
I don't even think, I mean, jury's still out of what I would rather call it. I'm not even I think I am not a real big fan of the term empty nest.
Yeah.
I think you
need to come up with a phrase.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be right now.
Okay.
I think you need to, and you need to coin it and write a book and make millions.
Okay.
That's the plan.
Well, I've been thinking about this. The empty nest term has a negative connotation to it.
Sure.
Like now, like all of a sudden, there's this huge empty space. And let's not call it empty. Let's just say we have done a great job raising our children to spread their wings and fly. So I'm not a huge fan necessarily of the term empty nest.
Right.
Because my nest right now is not empty.
Right.
It's not. I'm filling it with other things.
Right.
Now, are those things as wonderful as my two children? No, probably not.
Sure.
But I'm not looking at our home as like this sad place. It's not.
Yeah. Interesting. I watched we'll talk about New Year's resolutions, but people, this is such a funny thing. People have been talking to Mallory and I. We found ourselves in three different groups this holiday season, people talking about shows, TV shows and movies and that kind of thing. And I realized for someone that loves the arts, I don't watch TV or movies anymore.
No, you don't. I know.
And one of my New Year's resolutions is one of my New Year's resolutions is going to be to watch more TV, which is so funny.
Because there's some shows out there I know you would really love.
I know. Well, the other night.
You're stuck in Murder, She Wrote.
No, I'm actually not even doing that. I'm in, right now, I'm in full. How dare you? I've never watched Cheech and Chong. I don't know where that came from, but we are watching Full House right now as a family.
Exactly. Like Danny Tanner. Oh,
I know.
My gosh.
But
isn't that the one, Full House? Isn't that the one with the Olsen twins?
Yes. Whatever happened to predictability?
Oh, my word.
Every millennial sings.
See, that's what I'm saying.
The milkman,
paper boy. You need to get with the times.
So I had an opportunity the other night where everybody went to bed and I said to Mallory, she wasn't feeling well. And I said to Mallory, I'm going to watch a Christmas movie by myself.
Oh, what'd you watch?
So I scrolled through, you know, here's the other thing. I like when people tell me what to watch because sometimes scrolling is exhausting.
Yes.
Like looking for something becomes the main event. And then you're like, I'll just look at my phone.
I agree with you.
So I came across this movie that I had never heard of before.
What's it called?
It's called Love the Coopers. Starring, I think it bumped up on the algorithm because it's Diane Keaton is the mother.
What?
Which I love a Diane Keaton motherly role.
Yes.
And John Goodman.
Wait, why haven't we heard of this?
Listen, I think you should watch this movie. Here's what the premise of the movie. It's called Love the Coopers. And I apologize if you watch it and there's something in it that you're not a fan of. I don't remember a whole lot if there's bad stuff.
Right.
But the premise of the movie is the parents are empty nesters. And they've decided to get a divorce, but they're not telling their children.
Okay.
And the children are coming home for one last Christmas.
Okay, I did see this.
It is so
I did see
good.
It. I did see
it
this.
It is such, it's I a star-studded cast.
Because isn't this also where, this isn't much of a spoiler, but isn't it where the kids try to like mother her and she's like, hold on a second. You know, I'm fine. I'm the mom here. I can make my...
I don't remember.
Okay.
But it's just such a good movie. It's one of those movies that has a lot of stars in it and it's like different stories that end up crossing paths.
I love that.
And you see the connections.
I love that.
It was really good.
I love that.
And you know, I also love A Family Stone. Listen, have you seen The Family Stone?
Yes, I love that.
Another
movie.
Diane Keaton movie.
You know, another movie that I watched for the first time and I know you're going to gasp and clutch your chest. I've never watched It's a Wonderful Life.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
I know, shocking.
I've
seen it once.
Okay.
It's not part of my tradition.
Okay. I watched it the other night and I cried.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It was so good.
It's a good one.
I loved it. I loved the message that it carried. I thought it was absolutely wonderful.
You know, we have a mutual friend. I think my microphone's falling. We have a mutual friend that was obsessed with that movie, Daryl Roland. Did you know Daryl Roland was obsessed with that movie?
I did not know that. Daryl Roland is not with us anymore. Yeah. He's passed away, but boy, what a great man.
What a great man.
What a great guy.
Yeah,
I loved him. He was somebody who I look back on our time with him, our conversations with him, and his influence with such admiration.
Yeah.
He left such a wonderful legacy.
Yeah.
He just started not feeling well.
Yep.
And had a terminal liver, I think terminal liver disease,
right. Yeah.
And passed away. And his wife, Sylvie, we love her.
Yeah.
She's also a wonderful person who's actually navigating not being with her husband in such an integrity filled, wonderful way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So. Hey, we're in the middle of our series, The Gift of, and this week is The Gift of
Jesus.
The Gift of Jesus.
We just thought it was apropos. We don't talk about our faith all the time. We don't talk about our faith like in very obvious ways sometimes on this podcast, but we are both people that have faith. We aspire to, we would call ourselves Christians.
Yeah, totally.
We are not the rude, mean, obnoxious Christians.
Right. You know,
I don't know if the rude, mean, obnoxious Christians
are Christians.
Or would think of themselves as rude or mean or obnoxious.
You know, I want to address that because I think both of us grew up in a faith tradition.
Yes, we did.
That was probably very more conservative mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. I can only speak for myself, where I felt like there was a lot of hypocrisy mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I think it left me a little jaded, but as I've gotten further and further away, I've gone back to appreciate the things that my faith did give me.
Well, you know? I would say that along with that, I got to know Jesus.
Mm.
So that's what changed for me.
Well, it's like
I knew the concept of Jesus growing up. I knew what I was being told to believe.
Right.
I knew all the right scriptures and memorized it even. I mean, I was part of the Awana gang, right?
Oh, same.
I mean, I had a vest.
So did I. I was a pins? Cubby and did a you spark. Have pins?
Okay, right. Yeah.
I was a pal and a pioneer. I even did JVs or whatever that was called.
Did you do sword drills?
Yeah. Girls, name it, and I did it. I did Salty the Singing Songbook plays.
Oh no, I didn't do that.
I did. That was my first solo in third grade.
Oh wow,
he was a big blue book, and he sang his heart out for Jesus.
Oh well, he did. Right. Oh wow. Okay, so I when I became an adult, the concept of faith was still there for me, but I would say it became real when I faced challenge.
Sure.
You know, when I faced real hardship in my life, when I felt like. It had boiled down to, I don't know what else to do. The only thing I have left to do is to really lean into my faith and the person of Jesus and to start praying diligently and start being more intentional with reading the Bible and just pressing into my faith. That's when I felt like everything changed for me.
Yeah. Tell me about...
I shouldn't say everything. That's when I felt a real shift in my heart and my feelings toward Christianity and Jesus.
Yeah. Tell me about what was the, not the circumstances, but what was the actual shift prior to that? How did you view Jesus versus how you viewed Jesus on the other side of it?
I think I view Jesus and my faith as like, you go to church, you sit, you pray before your meals, you read the Bible, you read a devotional, maybe you read Jesus Calling, you read that day and you say, thanks, Lord, thanks for my life, thanks for my health, and you just keep right on trucking.
Do you feel like you had like a conversion moment when like prior to that?
I've never asked you this question before. Because I have a different feeling about conversion moments.
Yeah.
Now as a 57-year-old.
But what about in the tradition? Because we grew up in the same tradition,
right? So in my traditional faith,
yeah.
When I was growing up, I had an experience of praying and asking Jesus to come into my heart,
right.
Like in junior high, ninth grade, something like that.
Right.
And had this like very emotional, very like, I want Jesus to save me of my sins and come into my heart. But I really didn't quite understand what I was doing.
Right.
I would say fast forward when I was in my late 30s, I feel like that was for me when I knew what it all, what I knew what it meant. So right. like I feel like sometimes we get that part of Christian faith in conservative circles anyway, we make it like A plus B equals C. Bow your head, say this prayer like this. Like I was even raised in an environment where you had to say the prayer a certain way in order for it to stick.
Right.
You know, now sometimes I just have this conversation with somebody probably 4 years ago. I had this conversation with somebody who was asking me about Christianity, and she was saying like, you know, what is it that makes you different? Because I feel like you're different. I feel like you're different from people I grew up with, or, you know, because she didn't grow up in faith circles. And she's like, you know, what is it that makes you different? Do you feel like makes you different? And I would say, well, I think that my personality is given to being a very enthusiastic, positive person.
Sure, that's fair.
But I also believe that it's probably my faith. It's probably the person of Jesus.
Right.
And she said, well, how do I get something like that? Hmm. Like how does that work for me? And I said, well, you know, 20 years ago, I would have told you that you needed to bow your head and you needed to say these words. And I said, now that I'm older and have had more experience within my faith and within the person of Jesus, I think that you can say, God, if you're there,
yeah,
and you're hearing me and you're real, I would like you to be in my life.
Right.
I would like for you to come into the space where I'm at and show me more of you and show me how to live according to what you have for my life. I mean, there'd be people out there that would argue, well, no, she needs to ask for forgiveness of her sins and for God to forgive her sins and come into her. I believe that we serve and believe in a big enough God that he knows yeah. our hearts so profoundly and so thoroughly that we can say, I don't know all the right words to say. I just know I want you in right. my life.
Right.
I think that we also can have more of a relationship with Christ, a daily relationship with Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. I believe it's a gift. But I do believe when things are going really, really well, sometimes it's easy to just keep right on trucking and not totally. be as close. You know, the Bible says that he's close to the brokenhearted. Right, Jesus right. is close to the brokenhearted. I think when we're going through trial and tribulation and hard times, we often, if we aspire to a faith, we often really press in and lean into our faith, and we're diligently praying and we're asking God to show up. I think when things are really, really good,
yeah.
sometimes that we don't foster that relationship in quite 100%. The same way. I wish it wasn't like that. I wish I wasn't like that, but it's just the way that it is for yeah. me personally. But I am this Christmas, I'm so grateful for the gift of Jesus. I'm grateful for the gift of our faith.
Right.
I'm grateful that I have something to believe in that isn't black and white. Mm. You know, I think the way I was raised, it was all black and white. Mm-hmm. It's not so black and white.
Nope.
The Bible is very clear about it being a mystery.
Right.
We don't have all the answers.
Right.
We don't know it all.
Right.
And I am now at this age, I'm more at peace with that.
Totally.
I'm more at peace with not knowing. I'm more at peace with if somebody asks me a question saying, you know, I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago or 25 years ago, I would have had an answer. But it would have been an answer I was told to believe. Mm. And now, you know, I allow for more just mystery.
Yeah. You know, similarly, I would say that I had a faith experience as well. I had a conversion experience where I felt like I saw Jesus and what he did for me in a very fresh way. And I would say that I made that decision at 5. Now, did I know what everything I was saying? No. But the Bible also talks about us working out our salvation and what that looks like.
Right.
And I think
Correct.
In different seasons of life, we see the nuance of relationship. You know, it's similar. Why am I going to cry?
Because this is the Ball Baby podcast.
I think it's similar to a marriage in this. When you commit to a marriage, you know, when you said to Daryl, I love you till death do us part.
Right.
You didn't really know.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to. He certainly didn't know what he was getting into.
You really didn't know what was going to lie ahead.
Right.
Similarly, Mallory and I, when we committed to each other, we couldn't have predicted the big things that came in our life.
Right.
And I think as you go through those things, there's so much nuance to your relationship with Daryl that makes it so rich and so deep. And similarly with me and Mallory, you know, I've said this before on the podcast, when I re-engaged with therapy, my therapist was like, how are you? You and Mallory are a statistic because you should not be married after all the things you've been through. You should be divorced by now, you know? And I think that's made our relationship very nuanced and very complex.
Now, when you say nuanced, what do you mean?
Nuanced for me, what that means is, we don't play, it's, there's much more than what meets the eye. There's a lot more complexity in a positive way, more trust, more life under your belt.
And more things that people just don't see.
Yeah.
From looking at the surface.
You know, it's not, we're not 2D characters that are, that stood up at an altar and made these 2D commitments to each other.
Right.
We've lived life. We've cried together. We've buried parents. Here we go. We buried parents. We've sat through 12-hour surgeries with one of our children. We've, you know, moved homes. We've been through so much. And I think it's similar in a relationship with Christ, where when you, let's say you do make a commitment, let's say you do have a faith structure that says, you know, that you do confess your sins and you say, God, you know, I know that I need you in my life. I don't know everything that that means. But I think as you start down that journey, you start realizing different parts of faith
Correct.
Or parts of Jesus that you're like, oh, I didn't really realize that when I was five.
Right.
Or I don't know what it looks like to navigate disappointment in my faith at 40 when I made a commitment when I was five.
Well, we just had a really good friend of ours. This will remain anonymous, but we had a real good friend of ours when we were talking in a group setting that said, I'm not sure I believe in the actual physical real, there being like a real heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, what? And they said, yeah, I'm not sure that I believe in an actual real, there being an actual tangible real heaven. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? And I was like, we have to talk about this more later when we can. And I think because of the way I was raised, that was, you never questioned that, ever questioned
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
There was never a, like, there's not streets of gold. Right, and you're going to live in a mansion.
Right.
And you're going to have all these crowns that you're going to lay back at his feet. You know, all of that.
Right.
Like, never did I never had somebody that I truly believe is a true believer, somebody that truly holds on to faith and really grows in their faith, say that. And I was like, wait, what? What?
Well, and I think the hard part for us, as we've navigated our faith and, you know, we've gotten comfortable with certain gray areas, or maybe our politics not aligning with everybody that subscribes to Christianity the way that we do, it becomes a little scary.
Yes.
For me, it becomes scary because I don't want to be written off for challenging certain things that I grew up with. You know, I don't want people to say, well, maybe I need to let that go.
Also, here's the reality. There are going to be people, if you question and you say, I'm going to allow that to be a mystery. I don't really agree with it, being that black and white. And people saying, oh, they're now starting to water down their faith.
Correct.
They're now starting to become a lukewarm Christian.
Right.
Jesus is going to spit them out of his mouth.
Right.
Because he's, which also sounds weird. But, you know, and here's what I'll say to that. I would say expose yourself to some people who you respect, who you love and admire, who are going to truly have a conversation with you and challenge you in ways that know what you believe. There's a difference between being a parrot and saying what, you know, you and I were probably very good parrot. I was a great parrot.
Yeah.
I could say all the right things, all the right verses.
I was 50-50. I was a pretty earnest. I'm a pretty earnest person. Like, if I look back at journals,
But what I mean by that, I'm earnest too, but I had all the answers that I was taught, but I didn't I didn't have a conversation with anyone that was challenging that belief.
Oh, like critical thinking almost.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, there was no critical thinking. Like right. these six people, Bible teachers,
right.
Awana leaders, pastors, have told me that this is the way it is, and I have just soaked it all in and said, mm-hmm. yeah, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And I hadn't been around people saying, well, have you ever thought that it might be this way?
Sure.
Have you ever thought that when that verse says that, it may mean this? And I'm like, wait, no.
Right. Well, I think, you know, to the topic that we're talking about, the gift of Jesus is one that I believe in a God. And, you know, we both subscribe to the Trinity, mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. God is the Father, Son, the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. I believe that God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are bigger than our questions. And I'm not scared
right.
of when we question things. And
either.
I'm not scared of having gray area.
Actually, I think that Jesus is disappointed if we don't.
Possibly.
Seriously. I mean, I think that when I started really questioning him, when I was going through a hard time and really saying, like, are you even there?
Right.
Are you even real? Do you even care? Is this really real?
Right.
Are my prayers just hitting the ceiling?
Right.
When I started pushing against my faith is when I felt my faith became so real and
right.
so true.
Right.
So I feel like we're welcomed by the person of Jesus and by God to question and to wonder.
Right. When you think about the gift of...
If you've got it all figured out...
Yeah.
If you think you've got it all figured out and you've got all the answers and you're 100% correct, I'm going to have trouble listening to anything you say.
That's fair. That's fair.
Truly.
Yeah.
Like, we have to be open to getting some of the things wrong.
Right, totally. When you think about the gift of Jesus, you know, what are the things that having faith as a part of your life, what are those things that have been really positive for you? That if someone was on the other side of this that was like, I don't know about all this faith stuff, but if you would say, but this is what it looks like, why has faith or a relationship with Jesus been something that's so positive for you?
Well, because I feel like when I pray and when I'm earnest in my faith and I pray and I petition God, I feel in my heart something different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like when I talk to you or when I talk to my kids or my husband or Mallory or Kat or Emily, people that I love and cherish. It's not like when I talk to friends. Like, it's
right.
not like when I call up my friend
or therapist.
I call up my friend Pauline and I'm like, hey, you know, let's talk about everything we're grateful for today. It's not like that.
Right.
There's a different feeling that pierces my heart and soaks through my heart when I am in community and when I am in prayer with Jesus.
Yeah.
Also, when I do things that are fruit of the Spirit driven, like love, joy, peace, generosity, all those things. When I do those things, it fills me with something different. Mm. So I know that it's something supernatural.
Mm. I love that. I think for me, it's the gift that Jesus has been in my life is everything that you said, that it is something, there's something different about mm-hmm. it. But also there's a grounding that it brings to my heart mm-hmm. and to my mm-hmm. life that I don't think you get from other things. You know, I think we live in a, I hate when people say this, we live in a time, but it's always been a time because
so
people
true.
Have always been people.
The season we're living in now.
Sure. It's all, people have always been people. However, there is a grounding and a peace that you find in, that I have found in Jesus that you can't find in other things.
Even
you
when you're in, going through a tough time.
Totally.
There is that presence of feeling that he's there, that he's aware.
Totally.
That's what I feel.
Totally. I so support that. You know, I think for me too, in those times of stress or of distress, Jesus has just provided a compass of hope.
Yeah.
Out of those things.
Yeah.
And a like an anchor to latch onto that just you can't describe it.
And then when you're in relationship and you're praying and you're petitioning, and you're asking God for things, and then he brings something that comes along that you say, not only is this an answer to my prayer, but it's far better than mm-hmm. I could have planned for yeah. myself. It just confirms my faith. It's a yeah. it's a confirmation of my faith.
Yeah.
So yeah, the gift of Jesus is a real thing in my life.
Totally. Same for me. You know, I think if you're on the other side of this microphone and you're like, what are they talking about? I think exactly what you said in this podcast is if you have felt maybe this is your sign, or maybe this, you know, language I would use around faith is this is your nudge from the Holy Spirit, is maybe it's something you thought about before that you're like, oh man, it's always been in the back of my mind, but I've never embraced it.
And I've never really known how. Like, if you're yeah. not raised in church, you're like, what does it mean? Like, you know, we've been bought by the blood. That yeah. sounds so weird.
Don't get hung up on that. Yeah, and don't worry about that right now.
No.
But here's what I would say.
If you want his presence, right. if you want to feel his presence, or you want to know right. more.
Pray. I would say to you, I would say, pray how you know. Pray what yes. you're feeling. What you're thinking. Yeah. And I believe that God will meet us where we are. You know,
100%.
I think when it comes to the formulas of faith and the you have to do things a certain way, I think that takes God's sovereignty out of it. You know, when we there's so many big questions about faith that we're not going to get into, but the why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah, right,
why did
right,
this
right.
person get this illness? Why did this person pass away? Those types of things. You know, either I'm going to believe that God is sovereign enough to handle it all, or I'm not.
Right.
And so I think sometimes as Christians, we do get hung up on the, I have all the right answers, where that takes the sovereignty of God away, where it's like, hey, I'm going to trust that God knows what he's right. doing because he's bigger than my brain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's bigger than me knowing the answers to all of these things. And so if I trust that God's sovereign, I'm going to trust that he's going to
meet people the word
where they
sovereign.
Are. Sovereign to me means that God has power and control over things, that he's bigger than our questions, mm-hmm. that he has
a path.
A path
written out for us in a way.
And so I think if I'm going to believe that God's bigger, that he's something worth believing in, mm-hmm. that he's something worth giving a life to or giving your hope to or your thoughts, I'm also going to believe that when somebody prays and they don't pray it in the way that a pastor says, that he's bigger than that
yes,
too.
Yes, correct.
You know what I mean? That's
for
what
sure.
I'm trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, he sees our whole heart.
As if I think God's huge and the creator of the universe,
right.
that I'm not going to get hung up on nuances.
Right, that you have to say
thing.
A certain thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where I'm like, yeah. we're either in or we're not.
That's good.
We're either yeah. going to believe that he's going to take care of it or we don't.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
So that's kind of where I hang my hat when it comes to matters of faith, especially at the ripe old age of 40.
That's right.
Because I feel like as I've gotten older, I have more questions than I have answers. And
same.
I think God's comfortable
same.
With that. I think he's okay with it.
I know he is because I feel it in my heart and I feel like he knows me better than even I know myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's like, yeah, she's coming along. She's come yeah. a long way.
Yeah. That's funny. You know, at this holiday season, maybe you are celebrating Jesus and his birth today, or maybe you aren't. And wherever you are on that spectrum, our hope is that you found your way here for a reason mm-hmm, to our podcast mm-hmm. family. And we're so thankful that
yes,
you're here.
That you feel welcomed and loved. Yes.
Yeah, that's our hope.
Yes.
You know, before we go, it wouldn't be a podcast mm-mm, episode without us talking about one very important thing.
Let's talk about food. Okay.
Let's
things
talk about food.
Things we're planning to make when the kids are home.
Yes.
Which they're home right now when this airs. We're going to be making thumbprint cookies.
Praise.
We're going to be making the almond brittle toffee. Mm. We're going to be making some form of mashed potatoes.
Yes.
We're going to be making crab legs and filet.
Yes.
You know, or tenderloin. We also are going to be making the maple syrup candied carrots. They're everybody's favorite. Mm. And then I did something a little different. Fishwife, if
oh, yeah.
you are listening, I did something a little different.
We did
this
talk
year.
About this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you cannot get this at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market, but I ordered the ultimate holiday package from the Fishwife.
Yeah.
And it's tin fish. And so we're going to enjoy that one evening with a baguette, toasted baguette, and some crackers, and we're just going to have a little tin fish feast. I will say that the fresh meat counter at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has such lovely things this time of year. Lovely.
Yeah. And here's what I'll say. no doubt here in the next week, 2 weeks, you're going to be seeing people, you know, between, usually between Christmas and New Year's or around that time, you're going to people's houses, you're celebrating something. Walnut Creek Cheese has little gifts you could pick up to take with you.
Yes,
maybe true. The person you're going to their house, they told you, don't bring anything, just come. My little secret advice to that is bring something.
Yes.
And it could be a candle.
Sterling Candle Company's Sterling Candle Company's there.
It could be tea towels from their section.
It could be nuts, mixed nuts. The mixed nuts are beautiful there.
Totally. It could be, maybe you make a candy bowl. Remember when you made candy bowls?
Listen, they're bulk food candy.
Can you make a candy bowl this Christmas just for old time's sake?
Their bulk candy at Walnut Creek Cheese and Market is amazing. And what I used to do when the boys were home is I used to get a trifle bowl. It was big.
Or like a punch bowl almost.
And I would layer it with the different candies from Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. It was so good.
Please.
It was.
I'm coming to your house over the holidays. And I would love to see.
Okay, you would love to see a candy bowl. Okay, I can just make it happen
with the old staples.
Yes,
the Reese cups,
the malted milk balls, the chocolate covered peanuts. Yes. But I do love the malted milk balls.
I know because you love chalk.
Yeah,
you love eating chalk.
Yeah, but they have really good chalk. They have really good like the chocolate covered almonds.
Oh, you know what else I love?
Your mouth is watering.
Little pieces of Heath covered in chocolate.
Oh, those are good.
Those are so good.
So good.
So Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has everything you need, whether you are entertaining in your home or you're going somewhere else.
Yes.
You can pick up the things that you need, or you can pick up a little Cersei gift.
We love them. We have loved, what's the saying you're saying?
We've loved them long and we loved them strong.
Yes, so true. We've loved them for years.
For a long time.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. We are so thankful for your support of These Are Good Days and being one of our friends.
Yeah.
Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone, and a Happy New Year. Yes. Actually, we'll be here before New Year.
I think
we're here on Christmas or New Year's Eve.
Oh, How about that?
Well, thank you so much for joining us in this episode all about the gift of Jesus. Yes. You know, our hope is that maybe this conversation made you think about faith a little differently.
Yes.
And truthfully, if it did, we would love to hear from you. You can find us both on Instagram. Leanne is at Leanne Miller and I am at Hey Matt Barris. And we would love to have further conversation with you if this piques something in your brain. You know, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.